Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahalastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who is still drunk on last week's one beer. It's Richard Herring! Thank you very much! Welcome to another episode of Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. I was talking to Eddie the Eagle Edwards the other day. We went skiing together, and he calls it Rahalastapas. I don't know if that's connected. Remember old Eddie the Eagle? David, remember him? Do you see the film Eddie the Eagle starring the bloke from Kingsman? No. Anyone see that film? Yeah. Well, the three people who saw it, was it any good? Yeah, it was good. Yeah. Why did only 3 people see it? Directed by Dexter Fletcher, who used to be in Press Gang, and Julius Wilder. So it's so we have something in common, and I'm drunk enough to say that one time when I was having sex with Julius Wilder, she called me Dexter. So it's there we go. So, and I still carried on going out with her because I'm an idiot. Welcome to the show. And I'd like to say hello to, we've got some guests in tonight who've come from Refuge, which is a fantastic charity. Are you here? There's loads of them. Hello, how are you doing? Who are a fantastic charity we raise money for on International Women's Day. I don't know if you remember that. I'm sure that'll be happening again. We're recording very close to International Men's Day. So let's see how much we make for a man's charity during that. Nothing. We'll see. Next year. There's big plans for next year. Don't worry. So thank you for coming along and thanks for all your fantastic work for that amazing charity. We're going to crack straight on. We've got... this is a subject I'm going to be very interested in. This is basically what I want to make this podcast. We've got guests from another podcast who've just taken out all the emergency questions and the faff that isn't about quizzes, which is the rubbish bit, and just made it about quizzes. One of them is probably best known as the woman who bought the fridge in Being Sold... And the other is best known for being doing question verification on one episode of It's Not What You Know. It's Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan, ladies and gentlemen.
Hopefully. They're there. They're here.
Come in, sit down anywhere you like. Welcome. There's water. Mwah.
Oh, goodness.
It's always like a kiss.
It's very nice.
Always like a little kiss at the beginning of everything.
Why not? You help yourself to a beer. Oh, my goodness, that was close. Very close to losing a gin and tonic there, but it's still there. And that is the main thing. We can get you more if you need it.
So we've been out with Esme all afternoon. So
yeah. She's still going even from last week. That woman's a machine.
She was surprisingly sober backstage, wasn't she?
Yeah.
It was like she'd worked out of her system. And then she was like, oh, that was good. I've spent that now. That's good. I'm going to be a delightful old sewing judge.
Yeah. I think Joe Lycett will be getting her drunk again as we speak. He probably at this exact moment. So, woman who bought the fridge in Being Sold? That's you.
Is it?
Well, according to IMDb, it is.
I've got no idea what that is. I don't know what that is. Okay. I've never heard of it.
I don't know what it is.
It may have been a terrible... There was one short film I did where I had to do a sex scene with Shed from M People.
Okay.
And that was awful.
Okay.
He was nice.
Yeah.
But, that was... I've never done a sex scene before or since. And it was...
Well, you got sold a fridge in this...
I mean, that makes it sound really porny, doesn't it? I bought a fridge and then the next thing I knew... I think it might be that. There's probably some... I've done a few... I used to think I could act.
Yeah.
And then I did some acting and it was terrible. And a friend of mine was making a short film and asked me to be in it. And I did it and it was so... Like, if you've ever done any acting, then if you are aware that you are acting, you're probably not doing it very well. And I was doing this short film and I was like, oh God, this is really terrible. And the more I thought this is terrible, the worse it went. And it was just, oh God, I still feel really awful.
Acting's all about confidence.
Yeah.
It really is. And I lost my confidence with acting a lot of times.
Mm.
And then it's the worst thing.
With stand-up, it's easy though.
Yeah.
With stand-up, it is just entirely confidence.
Yeah.
And you go, well, that's rubbish, but people seem to like it. when you're doing something that you can't do. But luckily I've married an actor now.
Yes.
So that's all the acting happens in that area.
He goes
of the house.
And does the, he's in everything, your husband.
He was in Endeavour the other day.
Wow.
And he looked like he was going to be a murderer.
Yeah.
Except, and all my relatives were texting me going, oh my God, he's the murderer, isn't he? And I'm like, no, because he looks like he's the murderer. And the whole point is the person who looks like the murderer is not the murderer. And
Too early, isn't it?
It was too early.
Like, yeah. Quarter to nine.
Yeah.
It's not the murderer.
No, he was murderous at about half eight. I mean, it was ridiculous. So, yeah.
Far too early.
So, and all my family are thick, it turns out.
Oh. Or just Justin looks like he's a murderer. Could be that. So it's, and it's not what you know.
Yes.
What question did you verify on that show? Do you remember?
I verified all the questions
it
for an entire
one
series.
It says question verification on one episode, IMDb.
I need to get in touch with IMDb.
You do?
Because that's false. There was a whole series of that nobody watched because it went out on Challenge.
Did it? What was the twist on It's Not What You Know?
It's Not What You Know was the questions had already been asked to a panel of celebrities who were experts in different topics.
Okay.
And you could choose to take the answer. Or if it was a physics question, say, you know, you had Professor Brian Cox there.
Did you have Professor Brian Cox?
I think it was pre-Cox.
Oh, really? Okay.
It was pre-Cox.
Okay.
But you could do that, or for even more money, you could take the answer of Shed from M
People. Yes. He knows.
He was on for his fridge knowledge.
He knows his way around a fridge, that man, I'll tell you.
What does Lucy Porter's bum look like? So that he could answer that one.
Yeah, can Lucy Porter act? No, it turns out no, she can't.
So all the questions were very well verified. But
was that a Bradley Walsh? Was that a Bradley Walsh vehicle?
It was not. It was Chris Tarrant.
Ah,
it was Tarrant post millionaire.
Yeah.
Post millionaire.
Yes.
So he left millionaire. Thought I'll go to Challenge and do another quiz show.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
It was not the roaring success. And
who wants to be millionaire is quite a.
It's
quite
always going to be a hard act to follow.
I would have
so.
Just said, I'm not going to do any more quiz shows if I was Chris Tarrant.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and do Railways and the Holocaust, is what I just saw him do the other day. That's what he did. That's why I'd gone straight into that.
Well, he had to leap to it. So he couldn't just leap straight to Holocaust. He had to go, terrible quiz show.
Yeah.
Holocaust.
Nazis, how they got people around. It's a good opening gambit on this show. So you two are working together on a podcast called Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Yep.
Which is my main interest. This is a great podcast. You're looking into the world of quizzing and TV quizzes and talking to ex-contestants on quiz shows.
Well, we found each other on The Chase. Because I was on doing
On The Chase.
I don't like to mention it, but we did win the most amount of money that's ever been won.
Wow.
I know. I didn't know. I wouldn't have brought it up, Richard, but you do.
And were you the chaser on that episode? Because that is...
No. I was sitting backstage thinking I would have beaten them if it was me in the chair, but, you know.
I know, but she was very good, and the governess. She was very good. Nice. But it was because... So Jay Rayner and Krishnan and Guru Murthy are massive dick swingers, right? And so... They were on, so I think it was Jay Rayner first, and he took the high offer, right? Like, whoa, I'm going to take the high offer with my massive penis. Here it is. And then Krishnan Gurumurthy went next, and he went, well, my penis is as big as yours. And
are you able to use your penis to actually push the thing back up?
Rang, dang, dilly, dilly, dang, dang. So there was a lot of money on the board, and then I had a terrible, cash builder. But I thought I cannot be out-dicked by these two, so I took the high offer as well.
Wow!
And lucked it out and got back. And then lovely Steve Davis, who is the nicest man in the world, kind of went, "Oh, well, I won't take the high offer," and just went for the normal one, the middle one. Yeah. And we were all like, "Ah, wanker." My penis is bigger than your snooker cue. And it was a lot of money, and you do kind of go, bloody hell, this is kind of quite serious. But we just got, I'll be honest with you, and I don't want to expose any secrets, but it is a bit easier when you're a celeb that you sort of, you realise that they have done what you've done and they've read your IMDb page. And they say, who was in the selling a fridge, whatever thing it was? And you go, oh, that was me.
It was me.
Yeah. So it is slightly, I mean, those ones I think are slightly weighted against the chaser.
Is that fair? You're not allowed to divulge that kind of secret?
I can't comment on the official position because nobody tells me, because we're not allowed to communicate with the question team and all that sort of stuff about that sort of thing. But as a casual viewer, you might notice that there are some questions about things that the celebrity contestants should know.
Okay.
So it's even more funny when they don't get it right.
I mean, I've seen a lot of celebrities. I think the thing with The Chase, it's such a difficult quiz to win on. So more often than not, people don't win on it, which is that's quite bold. I suppose Eggheads is like that as well. I don't like Eggheads. I know you worked on Eggheads a little bit, didn't you?
I was a contestant on a show where they were looking for a new Egghead.
Right. I'm glad you didn't get it. I'm glad you're not an Egghead, because Eggheads is rubbish. I really hate Eggheads. I think there shouldn't be a multiple choice element on Eggheads. I think it works on The Chase because the questions are hard enough that it's difficult. But like with the Eggheads, they can make an educated guess down to at least two, but probably one.
Yeah, but if you know about quizzing. Certainly Kevin and Pat from the Eggheads, they don't need a multiple choice for any of the questions ever.
Yeah.
They know some ridiculous level of deep knowledge about any topic you care to give them. You know, furniture designers from the 1970s, they'll be able to name the top five from Austria.
Which is weird, isn't it?
Do you know why that is? Weird. I saw Kevin from Eggheads in Pizza Express in Winchester once. And I was eating on my own, so I'm not judging that, but he was eating on his own. And he had a big book of facts that he was looking through as he ate his Pizza Express, my not Pizza Hut, that's TV money for you.
That's sweet, isn't it? He's having a Veneziana.
Do you sit in Pizza Express on your own learning facts?
Occasionally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got to, right? You've got to if you're going to be a top level. Because you're a quizzer as well as on TV. You sort of you do all the competitions like Paul, who we've had on Paul Sinner.
Yeah, it is.
The Cinnamon.
How I got into it is because it's kind of an all-consuming hobby, because it does become that way. If you want to compete, like the end of this week, I'm off to Venice to compete in the European Quizzing Championships, if it's not underwater. And how? Ooh, I'm paying for myself. I don't have a sponsorship.
We haven't been buying enough Venezianas in Pizza Express. That's what it is. We haven't saved Venice from the water.
No, it's because I say it's compulsory, so I say I won't pay it. That's why it's my fault. It's not compulsory. How do you? Is it as an individual you go in those tournaments?
Yeah.
And what's the highest achievement accolade of your quizzing career?
I did win a gold medal in the team competition at the Quiz Olympiad.
Wow.
Ooh, yes.
Right.
It's not that exciting. I didn't. I was the highest scoring person from England in the TV category, and so because England swept the board in every other category.
Is it like going for gold where you've got an unfair advantage because it's all in English?
There has to be an inherent unfairness, although a lot of the other European competitors do speak much better English than the English.
Well, on Going for Gold. I mean, Going for Gold, we've been trying so hard on our podcast because we get on people who've been on like various quiz shows, and we are trying so hard to get someone who was on Going for Gold, but it's like they were all shot after competing because you can't find any of them. And there's like loads of plucky little Belgians that were like, oh, it'd be lovely to see them again. But
it's Eric from Norway we want to find.
Yeah,
Amanda, we want John from the Netherlands. Yes. I think it's from Series 2. The two finalists from Series 2.
Okay.
It was hard fought. It was a classic final. Yeah. You need to watch the YouTube clip just for Eric's reaction when he wins.
Yeah.
It is just beautiful. He's that man. No wonder he retired from quiz because he couldn't top that.
That's it. Well, you can't. Once you've done Going for Gold, that's just nothing else. Also, the entire theme song, the Hans Zimmer Going for Gold theme song, the entire thing is available on YouTube, and I recommend.
Of course, it's the heat is on. The time is right. It's time for you. For you to find your game.
People are coming. Everyone's trying to be the best that they can. When they're going for gold.
He writes movie scores, doesn't he, Hans Zimmer, as well?
Gladiator.
Yeah, he's Oscar winner. But do you know the second verse? It's got several verses as the theme tune.
The heat's still going on. Not quite as exciting now.
We're still Dutch and Belgian.
Come on, what's the second verse?
I don't know.
No. It's out there. It is
available. Yeah. If you just play it on a loop. You can put it on.
It was
YouTube
a great. It was a great show. Going for gold.
It's my happy place, actually, is just watching. Because what we do is when we have someone on, then you say, I'll go. So we have like someone who was on Blockbusters, but then you go to YouTube and then you end up spending 5 hours of your life watching old Blockbusters and just thinking how amazing Bob Holness was. And that just is the happiest time of my life, was that sort of being young and watching quizzing and thinking.
But it also seems like yesterday. The one that seems like yesterday to me is quite an obscure one, which is Master Team that Angela Rippon used to be the host of. And my mum, I was about 18, and my mum would make. I just remember eating soup while my mum had made while watching Master Team. Oh. And it feels like that was yesterday. How can that be 33 years ago? Look at me.
Look at you now.
I had soup today as well. My wife made it for me. But where was Angela Rippon? Nowhere.
You had cauliflower soup last week as well, didn't you?
I did. I love it.
I'm mad on it.
I love it.
Can't get enough of that cauliflower soup.
It's fantastic. Do you know Ben Moore? Do you know Ben Moore, Ben Moore?
Yes, yes, yes.
He did 5 gold runs on Blockbusters. He got to go to LA. He met Mr. T. Yeah, that was his prize.
Seems like a natural Blockbusters prize.
I think the Mr. T was just incidental. I don't think that was part of the prize. I think he was at Universal Studios.
Because Kitson did Blockbusters.
Yeah.
That's on YouTube. Stephen Merchant, that's on YouTube. You can watch all of it. We haven't managed to get either of them for the pub.
They'll come down to talk about it.
Probably will.
Do you think it was unfair there was 2-1 on Blockbusters? Did the one ever do very well enough? It wasn't enough of an advantage on the board, I think.
No, because you were one extra.
It was 4-5, wasn't it? Yeah. 2-1.
But then the beauty of it being sort of sixth formers is nobody cared.
You were like, apathy, the apathy of the whole thing.
Because you didn't like the. I mean, even though I was sort of an age, I loved the show, but there were a lot of them who were like, they were the kids at school who had, I would have loved to have done it, but wouldn't have had the confidence at the time. But now I've become one of those dickheads who would have done it. That's what I've learned in life, is that it is all about confidence. And quizzing, like acting and comedy, is a lot about the,
you've got to be confident enough to be that solo contestant up against a duo.
Yeah.
And don't care.
The advantage is, I suppose, you know what you know and you don't not waiting for the other one to buzz in. I suppose that's a slight advantage.
We did have a brilliant bloke on who'd been on with his mate. Mate was an idiot. And he was just looking at... We had someone on from Bullseye as well. And it is lovely when there's two people and one of them's an idiot and the other one just can't disguise their contempt.
It's the Pointless clip.
Oh, God,
the clip
yes.
from Pointless.
There's a beautiful... There's two girls on Pointless and you see a friendship dissolve in front of your eyes. Because what's the question?
It's name a country which... Ending in ND, yeah. That's the one.
And the answer...
The girl just... She spaces out, you can see. She's looking into the heart of darkness all of a sudden and goes, I don't know... Paris?
It's amazing.
It's the pure fury on the friend's face.
Yeah.
Fury, disappointment, disgust, embarrassment. You just see everything crystallised.
Yeah.
You think, that's not going to be a fun train journey home, is it?
No. And I get that, because it is like she slept with her boyfriend or something, but it's worse. It's worse than that.
Because it was on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, Paris doesn't end in ND, and it's and it's not a country. But apart from that, it was a good crack. Better than Tapau, isn't it? So it's not that I'm holding grudges.
It's so good. I never tire of your bitterness and competitiveness. I love it. I really, really.
I'm a loser. I'm a try hard loser.
Yeah.
That's all. I want to win. It makes it so. If I tried to manufacture it to become someone who'd get on quiz shows a lot on TV and get paid for doing that, someone who really wants to win is obviously good enough to win and better than everyone else, but who doesn't win? That's what I would. That's the character I would create to coin in those Pointless millions.
I bet the fourth time you go on Pointless, it's going to be brilliant.
I can't wait. Well, we're saying backstage, you and I should go on. You've been on twice and not won.
Thanks to Ed Byrne and Rob Deering.
Yeah.
And you have been betrayed by who?
Other comedians. Rona Cameron, Robert Webb, cunt.
Yeah.
Useless cunt. And after I got a Pointless answer and everything.
Yeah.
And my wife, Katie Wilkins, let me down very badly.
Yeah.
Very badly.
It's nice that you're still married, actually. That's
well,
good.
I mean, the fractures are there now.
Did you do that look that the girl gave to the woman who said Paris?
I think, you can see what's quite nice about I've been on Pointless three times and I've cried twice on Pointless. And right at the beginning, like when they're interviewing you, because they interview you and, they've asked the question and they're interviewing you. And so you're thinking, fuck, I've got to think of an answer. You go, I'm on tour, I'm doing this. And the second time, they were kind enough to cut my crying out. Because literally, I'm definitely going, the third time I was on, I thought, I'm going out in the first round again.
Yeah.
And he went, what are you doing? I'm doing a show called The Best. It means so much to me. So I actually... Katie was so nice to come on that show with me that I didn't mind that she was... At least you didn't get anything wrong, you know. That's the thing. The others got the questions. Well, not wrong, but you know, fuck them. Because I'm over it.
Justin refused to do one with me.
Did he?
Yeah.
You and me together, and then we'll win, and then it'll be us, you and me. We can ditch the others, ditch our families and our partners.
To be honest, because what they're putting into the gene pool is not to scratch, is it? So we'll. We'll leave the substandard partners and children and we should create our own master quiz. I mean, time's running out for me, certainly, but we could, if we act quickly.
I'll store some up. I reckon there's a couple of swimmers in there still. So, I'll ask you some questions that are questions that come out. I'm going to ask you some both quiz questions because I ask... on this podcast, one of my emergency questions is finding out where you're from and asking you what is the tallest building. And you're from Bolton.
Yeah.
Jenny, what is the tallest building in Bolton?
St. Peter's Church.
Well, you know, I think I'll give it to you.
Parish Church. St. Peter's Church, yeah.
How high would you say that was?
It's pretty tall.
Yeah.
But it's not that tall because we're not Manhattan.
Well, I'm going to give it to you. The tallest building structure in Bolton is the Winter Hill TV mast facility. But I don't think that's
not a building.
And the second is the Bolton Thermal Recovery Facility. I think it's a chimney, that one, though.
Yeah. Sounds like it's a fancy name for it. Yeah.
What's the tallest building in Croydon?
The tallest building in Croydon is the... it was called the 20p piece building. It was derelict for many years, and it is now open again.
Okay. I don't know. I didn't look it up, so you might be right. Okay, I'm good. I've got some questions about Bolton for you. I'm going to see how we go.
Oh,
how many cotton mills were there in Bolton in
1929? 34.
No, 216, way
good
off.
Good Lord.
Yeah. That was just before it started to... There were basically none by the 1980s. What does Bolton mean? The word Bolton, what does it mean?
There are many... There are many theories on this.
Is there?
Yes.
Yeah. What does Wikipedia say?
It's something to do with a town in a valley, basically.
Yeah, settlement with a dwelling. I'll give it to you. It's more or less the same. Who owned Bolton in 1067?
Who owned Bolton?
Who owned Bolton in 1067, 900 years before my birth?
Lord Stanley.
It was Roger de Poitiers. Born in Bolton in 1961... I played roles in Holby City and East is East. Yeah. What A am I?
Ian Aspinall.
Yeah, correct. Well done. He's also in Time, Gentlemen, Please. In Time, Gentlemen, Please, we booked Ian Aspinall and Ian Aspital to play two characters with each other. And they were tiny little parts, and I think we mixed them up. And Ian Aspinall was quite a big deal. It's a little joke for us, Ian Aspital. What Bolton Crescent features in Jeremy Brett Sherlock Holmes?
Le Mans Crescent.
Of course, it's easy one.
We've only got one Crescent. We're not posh enough for any.
Born in Bolton in 1753, I invented the spinning... I can't read my own writing.
Mule,
yeah.
Samuel Crompton.
Yeah, cool. Lucy Porter. Some questions about Croydon for you. True or false? Croydon is shit.
That's... It is false, Richard.
Born in Croydon in 1973, I am best known for playing the woman who bought a fridge in Being Sold. Who am I? There's some dispute about whether you're in that, though.
There is.
Out of all the celebs born in Croydon, excluding present company... Who would Richard Herring most like to fuck?
That's a really, really good question.
Thank you.
I think... Is it, born in? Because I was going to say Terry and June.
Okay.
But they merely resided in Croydon. And same with Ronnie Corbett. Just he only lived there. I now can't think of anyone except Noel Fielding or Sue Perkins.
Kate Moss.
Kate Moss. I think Noel Fielding.
Pretty close. David McCormont.
Good choice.
Yes.
Katie Mellower as a backup.
Would be so melodious and lovely, wouldn't it? That would just be such a lovely thing. David McCormont and Katie Mellower serenading you as you hump them.
I'd be the closest thing to crazy she'd ever seen. So which building in Croydon appears in the film The Dark Knight Rises as Gotham General Hospital? It's a good question, isn't it?
God, I don't know. Is it Mayday General Hospital?
No, it's Delta Point.
Oh, that might be the one with the that might be the one the I was talking one. About. Let's say it was.
Okay. Gets fun, wouldn't it?
Let's say that was. Do you want to do a quiz about us?
Yeah, I do. Yes, do.
Right. Okay, so it's facts about us, and it's either Jenny, Lucy, both, or neither.
Okay.
had photos of her foot published in a medical journal?
I have a feeling that is... I've got a weird feeling I know this, and it's you, Lucy.
Do you know, I am very popular in the foot fetish community. That is absolutely true.
Yeah.
I have had pictures of my foot. I used to perform barefoot because I was very pretentious. And I thought I was like, the comedy's Sandy Shaw. And it was, anyway, I was an idiot. But I used to perform barefoot. And this became a thing in the foot fetish community. But their interest in my feet was purely sexual.
Yes.
Whereas Jenny's feet are more medically interesting.
Oh, are they? Okay.
Yeah. I had a large ganglion on one of my feet.
Did you?
When I had it removed, the specialist took photos to basically show his mates.
Wow.
But he published them as a medical marvel.
Right. They're allowed to do that, doctors, right? Yeah. I'm just going to publish that in a book.
And then they turned up on one of your websites.
And exactly. Now the foot fetish community know that. If I know anything about the foot fetish community, they will love that. There'll be a niche. Has never heard her mother fart.
You must have heard your mother fart, unless you were deaf through your whole childhood. I'm going to say Jenny has never heard her mother fart.
I wish.
Oh, no, she's from Bolton, what am I thinking? has never heard her mother not fart. Just since you were born. And let's say neither, is it neither? That would be a great one for neither.
No, it's me. Okay. That one's me.
Your mum's never farted.
Well, she's dead now, so she can't. But she well, she might, actually, well, she still can.
She has no control over it now.
One does, but apparently. But yeah, no, she never. I just don't think she did.
Okay.
She claimed not to.
Okay.
Had a crush on Jeffrey Holland.
From Heidi High.
Spike.
Spike, the first rule of comedy, Spike. That could be either of you. I'm trying to poker face you. Lucy Porter's looking away. It's Lucy Porter, just Lucy.
It's both.
Wow.
We just bonded on this today.
That,
we never,
really?
We never knew, but we both.
And Amanda, our producer.
Yeah.
Wow, all three of you. Jeffrey Holland.
Yeah, I think
he plays Stan Laurel in a touring show of Stan Laurel's
which
life.
Which I went to see
Did you?
In Edinburgh this year.
Yeah. It was so horny.
For
Such a
I'm no band
show.
From Pleasant Scott. Yeah.
Not allowed.
Do you still like him now, or is it just in character?
I think it was a time and a place.
The,
and I think
Spike.
It was
so fresh faced and lovely and put upon. And Paul Shane, I actually hated him.
Yeah.
Because I thought Ted Bovis was
bullying
evil.
Him. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, and I really do remember it being a sort of a lovely little sexual feat. You know, just a little that thing where you're first discovering what makes you tick. And
Jeffrey
it turns
Holland.
Out it was sort of quite poor comedian. So I have pursued that ever since. Do you want another one?
Yeah, it's good.
Lived in a Perspex box in a shopping centre for a week.
Both of you together. Is that David Blaine? Was he one of the answers? It's got to be, I don't know if it was you, it's got to be Jenny.
Yes, it was me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd know if you'd live. Why were you living in a Perspex box?
Because a radio station challenged me to do it. And there was another girl in a box which was kind of partially attached to it.
Right.
And we had to, not, without leaving the box, get food and a bed and clothes and items brought to us.
Right.
And then by the end of the week, the callers into the radio station had to decide who was going to win a cash prize.
Yeah, and did you win?
I didn't win, but my opponent, her day job was working in a call centre, so all her colleagues just kept ringing in and voting for her.
Aww.
However, I got a holiday out of it. So
did you?
I'm going to ask about the toileting situation.
There was a port-a-loo, which was, it was not Perspex. It had a genuine wall and door situation.
Wow.
It's like a very cheap Big Brother, Bolton-based Big Brother.
It was in the Arndale in Manchester, so it was reet posh, that.
Yeah.
And I got kept awake by the cleaning things for cleaning the big floors in a shopping centre, with the swirly, whirly things.
Tragic.
Yeah, they just went round and round all night, and I didn't sleep.
Oh, I can't believe it.
I had a great time.
Was it nice?
So I don't, you know, that... Even now, I would say that's quite a cruel thing to do to two women. And, like, now is cruel, isn't it?
Yeah.
But when did you do it? What year was it that you did it?
Oh, good Lord, now you're asking. About 2003.
I'd have thought people were kinder then.
No.
Sort of pre-Brexit.
No.
Yeah.
After Brexit, we'll all be like that after Brexit. First Brexit box,
we've got
live with what
two
people
meter
will bring
by 2
you.
Meter cube. And that's it.
You can answer quiz questions, you get a biscuit. That's what it would be like post-Brexit.
Pretty much my life already, so.
So, let's have a look at some more quizzes. What is the greatest quiz show that didn't become a massive success?
Oh, I know. It is What was the terrible one that we were talking about? Hang on. Come back to me because my brain's gone. It. What was the one?
Can you mime it?
Where?
The audience at home.
No, it's gone. But the one where you won a house, what was that one? That was short-lived but quite good. There was one where you won a house.
Was that with Bob Monkhouse?
Yes.
Yeah.
Never took off.
Raise the Roof? It wasn't called Raise. That was something else, wasn't it? There was one called Raise the Roof where you won.
I mean, in terms of... Because, like, quiz shows generally are quite good. You know, things like Touch the Truck. Well, game shows. There are game shows that you think, God, that was amazing that that ever got made.
Yeah.
But there's not really a quiz show.
There was a really good one on Challenge called It's Not What You Know, but the second series.
The questions were very well verified. Just one question was verified well enough to make it onto IMTV.
I always liked, what was that one Tim Vine did?
Oh, he did a couple, didn't he?
Whittle was brilliant.
Yeah, I really liked
bring
that.
Back Whittle.
And he's one of those people you just go, he's such a natural, lovable quiz show man that he should... He should have something.
Yeah.
We should write something for him.
Let's write him a quiz show.
Yeah, I think so.
Do you try and come up with formats yourself? Have you had any success with that?
Lucy's got one she's pitching at the moment. She's just going with the zeitgeist, really. She's picking things that are popular and jamming them together, whether they go together or not.
People like cakes.
They do.
And they like dancing.
Yeah.
Cakey dance off. That's all I've got.
It's pretty good.
But yeah, I think...
You were trying to add a quiz element to it with the quiz questions concealed within the cakes, but I'm not sure.
So you sort of smash a cake by dancing on it and then the quiz question's revealed.
Yeah.
And then Tim Vine does something.
Yeah.
We'll build Tim.
It's working
it's
up
in
there.
Development.
It is so. Very much in development. No, I'd love to come up with a quiz show format because it is what I love doing most. And I do always do quiz. Like, every show I've ever done has always had a quiz inserted into it somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just one of those things I'm just a bit too lazy to do.
The Weakest Link was created by a comedian, wasn't it?
Yes, Kathy Dunning.
Kathy Dunning, that's right. So that's.
And she suddenly went from being an open spot comedian who was like getting the mega bus around like we all were at the time to living in a penthouse flat in Fitzrovia wearing a kimono. She suddenly started wearing a kimono because she was rich and that's what you do. And it was amazing. I mean, good on her. You know, it was bloody amazing.
I mean, that's it, isn't it? That's if you can come up with the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, the one that goes all around the world. Let's do it. Let's come up with one now.
We need to get your son involved in this because he knows how to write a quiz show. First time I met him, he was like, right, we're going to do a quiz show. And there are three rules to writing a quiz.
Yep.
First one is start the questions easy and make them progressively more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Two is each contestant must have their own sound.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the third one because then he started running around in his pants.
Yeah.
and he did a commercial break. It was marvellous.
He did it. It was a compelling... Yeah. I mean, it was more sophisticated than Cakey Dance.
Yeah.
It really was.
Good.
But yeah, because we do that. Because the reason I got into quizzing was because my dad was a mad quizzer. And so at dinner, we couldn't have pudding unless we answered questions.
Wow.
So if you wanted your Arctic roll, you had to know the capital of Peru. And so I have
Lima, give it to me.
Yeah, if only. Obviously, I do quite well these days for puddings. But so the kids have all, they've inherited this love of quizzing.
Your dad liked 15 to 1. I think I remember saying on one of the podcasts you
yes,
said.
Yes, so he was going to be on it, but he had to have his hip replaced instead. I know, and he went to his grave not knowing that one day his daughter would be on 15 to 1. It's, you know, I would like to think that he, you know, somehow, I don't really believe in an afterlife, but I like to hope that his energy in the universe is proud that I failed to win 15 to 1.
That's a hard one to win, though.
Especially when you're on with Frank Skinner, who is absolutely a bastard. Absolutely a complete bastard and was playing completely tactically. And then Dave Gorman, who is just very good at those kind of things. The thing is, I really like quizzing, but I don't, you know, I'm not that good at it. And that is why Jenny's teaching me the way of quiz.
Yeah.
She is my Mr. Miyagi.
I'm working on the facial hair.
And has anyone on The Chase ever killed someone and then not told anyone, then written about it?
Oh, you.
I couldn't possibly comment.
No. If someone on the chase, one of the chasers was secretly, had secretly murdered someone, which one do you think it would be? It's hard to tell me. I mean, fuck, it's murder on the Orient
Express.
Secretly
murdered, it would definitely be Anne, because Mark would tell you all about it immediately.
Paul would do our show
about it. Yeah. And Sean would have to defend himself, so he's not the killing type.
No.
It is, do you know that thing you were saying about the Daily Express, where, because when I did the chase, they did a big story about Bradley Walsh furious with quiz contestant, and my aunties in Ireland got really worried.
Right.
And called me and went, oh, what have you done to Bradley? Oh, that was not an Irish accent, that was the voice of a ghost.
It was on this podcast, that's a good one for this. Well, I was going to talk about that because the Daily Express seem obsessed with it. They're like, if you look up the chase on, like, if you go to the clips, there's loads of weird, like, internet channels where it's voiced by a robot going, and this terrible thing happened in the chase where Bradley was. And these are manufactured stories about how Bradley was. There's one that you revealed that the guy who'd won the prize was quite a well-known quizzer who'd won various quiz things. And Bradley Walsh couldn't believe
he'd
what happened.
He'd been duped by this contestant.
Which clearly he hadn't, because you knew from all the way through he was anyway. So he must have done as well. What's going on with the Daily Express trying to make stories out of the chase?
They are obsessed with the show. They must have somebody who's paid to write one article per day about each daytime TV show.
Right.
And it's purely based on the top three Twitter comments they see. Viewers furious about this contestant's answer. There's three people on Twitter who said, oh, that was a stupid answer. And this guy, this poor, I don't know, some kind of, probably some child labour thing going on where they're tammering away at their keyboard trying to come up with any sensational story. And you're looking at it, you think, that was recorded about a year ago and I'd forgotten all about, I made a joke. Oh my God.
But there was controversy over you not being on it for a while. And then people were asking where the mystery of where you'd gone.
Yes, I've left the show. I've been fired, apparently,
She'd secretly killed a man.
Yeah.
And was lying low for a while.
Yeah, I was on the run in the Netherlands. I was going up and down canals punching people.
The story about the chase every day, though, is that people hate the person who's taken the lower offer. And, I mean, that's just it, because people just get really furious that somebody is profiting off the labour of others.
Right.
Which I think is quite healthy. I think it's quite healthy to hate those people and shame them publicly. Like Steve Davis, for example.
I can see that. Well, what gets me about the chase is that people always go, well, I think you could do it. I think you could go for the big money.
You're
they always ask,
than that.
But why don't you go safe and vote for the middle? That's basically, when they ask the other contestants, that's basically all that gets said.
Yeah.
Just don't bother asking. It's like Ben Shepherd going, where do you think the thing's going to land? I don't know, mate. Yeah. I know, Ben. It's random.
What was...
That's the point, isn't it? That's the point.
What was that brilliant one? I think it was called The Edge. Did anyone see that one where it was like Crown Green Bowls with quizzing. And you had to... So you had your bowling ball and you had to throw it to the edge of, like, this thing. And the nearer you got to the edge, the more money you won.
But you couldn't go over the edge.
You couldn't go over the edge. And the contestant chat on that was like, well, so how are you going to approach the edge? And they said, well, I'm gonna throw the ball quite hard, but not too hard.
Yeah.
And it was every day. I was like, oh, I'm loving that. Because you could see, obviously, some poor researcher like I used to be had obviously said, why don't you say it like, I'm going to put some heft into it, but I'm going to hold back. And then the poor contestant would just panic and forget and go, I'm going to be hefty, but hold myself. That didn't see that's one that didn't last that I really enjoyed.
Do you like that one?
I do love the thing I love most is the crap bits of it. So the chat, like the contestant chats on Bullseye.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Absolutely. I mean, Jim Bowen was a master and was brilliant. And he spun gold out of the really... Because it was that era, like Bullseye in the 80s, where like no one had ever met a celebrity. Or if you had met a celebrity even fleetingly, that was the most exciting thing that they...
There were fewer celebrities, for one thing.
There certainly were. And it was all everyone had... I mean, it was everyone had met Gary Wilmot. And that was it. It was like, well, I once was in a lift with Gary Wilmot. We didn't speak. you know, and I love all of that. In fact, the thing I love about Joe's new show, the Time It Takes, Joe Lycett, who was on last week,
yeah.
And his friend. the thing I love about that is that they've got an element of that where they do these ridiculous challenges and the contestants have to say which one they're going to pick. And it's so, it's sort of meaningless, but it's brilliant because they kind of go, I'm going to pick squeezing bean juice through a pair of tights because I think that's going to be quicker than dogs going up a stairlift. And it just really works because the banality of it is really good. I think.
It seems because since House of Games and Taskmaster, there seems to be a lot more of these kind of game shows that are part quiz and part sort of slightly humiliating exercise. Something on the.
I know, and I don't normally like faff. Like that's why I like 15-1 because it's just questions.
Yeah.
And it's like, what was the one, the really pure 100%
100%? Because it was literally just, you didn't get any chat with the contestants and there wasn't even a host in person. There was just a voiceover and he asked 100 questions and whoever had 98 out of 100 or rather than 97 was the winner. And they got to stay on.
I don't like, I don't like the, especially because it makes me cry, but there's the bit where they talk to the contestants on Pointless. I just want to get on with Pointless. Yeah. We don't need to know anything about these people.
Let them answer the question.
Just do the question. Give them, put them out of their misery. Stop making them think of the question while they're trying to talk about themselves.
Well, when we go on, when we do it, we will just say at the beginning, I'm sorry, Xander, we do not want to speak to you.
We're not going to say
who. Stare him down.
We will not talk. This, everything is riding on this. The future of our marriages. Don't try and engage us in small talk. This is too important. Just ask me the question. And I think that will endear us to the nation.
It will. It will. Let's ask you some properly hard questions from the Random Emergency Questions book.
Questions without.
I think I got the human centipede. Did I get the human centipede one last time?
You might have done, yeah. I think I won't do it again.
I can't remember who I picked.
Well, you know,
it'd be interesting to see if I picked the same people, wouldn't it?
It would. what is your most mundane encounter with a celebrity? That's the question above, how sensitive your nipples, which I decided not to ask you.
I was going to put which one of us has a third nipple.
Oh, okay. I mean, gosh, just thinking about it. I think it's Jenny.
No, just the two.
Yeah, no, it's me. I'm weird in that area.
You've got three nipples.
I've got a tiny, tiny third nipple. Just tiny. It's nothing to write home about.
Can I have a look at it later? Whereabouts is it?
Okay, it's on the underboob, so it's not even really rude.
Okay.
It's just a sort of little. Anyway, fine. Sorry. God. The froidure in the audience. We've gone too far.
We have gone too far. I don't ask questions like that. What is your most mundane encounter with a celebrity? You must have loads.
Frank Bruno thought I was his taxi driver. Ooh, that was a pretty mundane. I mean, I was at Champney's Health Resort in Tring.
Yes, I know it.
And I was driving at the time a blue Peugeot 306.
Yeah.
And parked up at the front, and Frank Bruno hopped in the back and said, "Take me to Luton." And I said, "No, Frank, I won't." He took it very well.
Did he didn't punch you.
I mean, he's really big, and I would love to. That's like a. Could be a sitcom in there. From massive Frank Bruno, tiny Lucy Porter in a.
I was
taxi
his driver.
Yeah.
I think if I was Frank Bruno's driver, that could be quite a good fun. Yeah, that could be a fun thing.
Driving Frank Bruno. It's like driving Miss Daisy. Everything's flipped around. It's brilliant. Come on. It's the driving Miss Daisy for the 21st century where there is no racism. Have you had a... You've met a lot of celebrities.
I made Derek Acora a cup of tea.
Did you?
Yeah.
Just randomly? Or
When I was working on The Weakest Link, I had to muck in with the celebrity specials and I made him a cup of tea in a polystyrene cup.
Did he know it was coming?
Fraudulent Derek Acora. We can say that.
What happened to him? What's Where is he?
I don't no, he still tours.
Still
I think
going.
Still tours. I think he's one of them.
He's passed on. It's on the other side.
Well, he's still tours. And he's still touring.
What are the secrets of behind the scenes of The Weakest Link? Was Anne Robinson as mean as she appeared in the scripted bits she did on TV?
She stayed mean all day, every day. She did not break character.
Wow.
Yeah. I did The Weakest Link.
You've done them all. I did everything. I wish I was you, Lucy.
Test the Nation. Well, you need to be as desperate as I am. You really do. I did Test the Nation, and it was me and Barbara Dixon were the best ones on that. And Anne Robinson was nice, and I'd met her and I thought she was really horrible because on The Weakest Link she's just really horrible all the time, and then on Test the Nation she was a bit less horrible.
Right. Was she horrible all the time when you worked backstage at the...
I will say, and she didn't break character.
I think she was nice on Test the Nation, but she's still, she's firm. She's
a frosty air, yeah.
And she's got that persona to maintain, but I think she's all right.
She's allowed to drop it now, though, isn't she? It's over now, isn't it? She's allowed to go. What's she up to now, Anne Robinson?
Does she still do a bit of Watchdog? I see her on Watchdog.
I know. The tables have turned, haven't they? You're on TV every day, and where's she? That's where you've got to watch out in show business, Lucy.
Not
be nice on the way up, because when you're... Be nice to go on the way up.
Quizzing gingers are there's a limited number that are allowed on TV.
All right, another emergency question. Oh, this is actually a fact. This is for an interview. This is a fact-based one. I don't know what the answer is. How many tennis balls would fit inside a Boeing 737 to the nearest three?
Oh, that's you. That's you.
It's a maths question. I understand you're not necessarily the best at maths.
I'm the worst at maths in probably
Europe.
You don't
have to answer it.
My kids
question.
Are doing like estimating things at the moment.
Are they?
And you do. I sort of go, well, there's in a seat on a... How many seats do you reckon there are on a Boeing 7, whatever it was?
I can't even tell you that, mate.
Like, quite a lot.
100, like you could...
Any Boeing 737 boards. Engineers in the audience?
No.
Oh, that's unusual. 747, what?
It depends.
Good answer.
You could take all the seats out and it would fit more tennis balls in.
Yeah, that's really true. If it was a military commissioned one, then they turn all the seats upside down or something, don't they?
It's a bad question, but
at least one.
It's a question for an interview, to ask in an interview, just because you can make people squirm with something like that. They think they have to be. These are questions for interviews. if I asked you to get a moon rock for me right now, where would you go and how would you get it? People have to do that.
What are
Spider-Man's main strengths? That's a good question.
It's like Lord Sugar right here.
Are you okay working alongside robots? Might it lead to any issues for you? What if the robots were armed?
What if the robots were sex robots? Self-cleaning sex robots.
What is the most orangey thing you've ever managed?
Oh, I like that question.
Yeah. If you're in hospital, would you prefer to die than be Patch Adams? I would.
Yeah.
Sad now, he's dead, isn't he? There we go. So it's all sad.
It's very morbid for a light-hearted chat, this, isn't it?
That's what life's all about. That's what quiz shows are all about, life and death.
Yeah.
That's what they're all there for.
I think if you could actually do a quiz show... I mean, if I had to face a firing squad or something, then I think if there was a quiz involved, I wouldn't mind. I do sort of feel like that's the way I want to go.
It's your last request. You won't have a last meal. You'd have a last...
I'd have a last quiz, yeah.
I wonder if there was a quiz show, maybe a mixture of like game show, quiz show, where there was like 1,000 people in it. One of you is going to win £10 million and one of you is going to be killed.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they get contestants for
is
that.
Is this post-Brexit we're talking
about? Yeah, probably is post-Brexit. But I think people would do it. I think celebrities would do it. If you thought there's a 1 in 100, 1 in 1,000 chance of you being killed, but there's a chance of you being successful, I think people would do it.
You would do it. You would definitely.
I'd do it because I wouldn't come last. I'd come second.
You'd do it and volunteer your wife. You'd volunteer Katie. You'd be like, come on, love, let's do this one together. It's Cakey Cakey Dance Off could take a twist.
Yeah.
Where it's Cakey Cakey Death Dance Off.
Yeah. Well, you'd slip over all the cakes everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, God. It'd be, why? You've started and finished. You've bookended this evening.
Yes.
With morbidity, haven't you?
Yeah, well, no. I'm very concerned about it. I'm 51 years old.
I know.
You youngsters.
Oh, no, don't. I'm menopausal. I'm morbid and furious at the same time. It's terrible. I'm aware that I'm dying and I'm absolutely angry about it. I really am. But anyway, good. Bring back Esme.
Where's she when she needs you? So the podcast is going out. How long is it going to go? Are you doing any live ones? Because that's...
Yes. That's the beauty of it is, of course, what we will do is quizzes.
Yes.
And, you know, so basically we can just take over any pub quiz, really. But, yeah, I mean, it's the... I think what is lovely about what you are doing here and what, you know, what is happening now is that it is like, you know, I thought, oh, will podcasting take the place of live comedy or live entertainment or whatever, and people will just sit in and listen to it. But people do want to come out and... you know, and go, God, I really like that podcast. What I'd really like is to come out live and just see how much they talk about death that never makes it into the edit. You know, that's the thing. So what we will do is we will quiz and then we will talk about death at some point. But
it's like you are aware. Life's
it's all a lot of fun, but guys, we are all going to die. But
there was,
yeah.
There was that time I went to the pub quiz where there was an entire round on genocide. That was marvellous.
Yeah. They were genuinely,
It was genocide and serial killers, and yeah, we started to really worry about the quizmaster that week.
We had a quizmaster. So our local pub quiz at the Queen's Head, the guy, it had three heart attacks, but he still wouldn't give up the quizzing, and so he came having been. He said, "Oh, I've had an angiogram. They say I'm fine for now. I've got to go back and see what it's about." And we were all like, it was really weird because we were like, God, it is lovely that you've come, but we're all, because normally we would do quiz, you know, team names that slagged off the quizmaster. We'd buy, like, you know, Dave's a smelly bastard or whatever. And that week it was all very kind. It was all like, come on, Dave.
You can do it.
We believe in you.
Oh, good. Well, the podcast is very good. You must check it out. Acast, is it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Acast. Yeah. That's what all the kids are doing these days. Acast.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. Is it James Acaster?
It could be. Yeah.
Some sort of.
They've got to get him on, haven't they? I mean, they've got to get him advertising it at least. But there we go. Are you doing stand up still, Lucy? Are you touring? Have you got a tour show?
I'm not all about the quizzing. I've got a really morbid stand-up show.
Have you?
Yeah, which is called Pass It On, and that's all right. About death. And what you inherit from your parents and what you pass on to your kids and stuff. But that's on tour in the new year. And so we will probably be doing some sort of quizzing while I'm out on the road.
Yes.
We'll combine that.
And are you getting better at quizzing as a result of hanging around with the Vixen, the Bolton Brainiac?
All of those things. It's good. Do you know, and it is a... I wish I had a look or a name or a, you know, a thing, because it is really good.
We should get your name.
Yeah.
I mean, you're little. There must be a pocket rocket somewhere in there. That's what you just need, a little...
I know, but that doesn't come over on telly, does it? You need, like, a hair thing or
You do need hair.
I don't know. Anyway.
Just stand next to Frank Bruno all the time.
The chauffeur.
The puppet.
Why don't you get Frank Bruno to put you inside, like, a baby carrier on his chest? And you could be the baby. You could be Frank Bruno's baby.
Bruno's baby. That's a gimmick.
I think that's it. I think that would work.
A gimmick.
Well, thank you so much for coming in, and good luck with the podcast. Do listen to it and go and see these guys if they do live ones, and do and see Lucy's show. Ladies and gentlemen, is the Fingers on Buzzers team.
Thanks, guys.
You have been listening to Richard Herring's Death to Square Theatre podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guests, Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan. The music is by Pest. I know that now off by heart. I don't even have to look that up. Thank you very much to everyone at the British Comedy Guide, everyone at Go Faster Stripe, and everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre for all your help. Thank you. I'm indebted to my producer for the last 2 weeks, Gwyn Rhys-Davies. Ben Walker isn't here because he's useless. I'm glad to be shot of him. I hope he never comes back. Thank you very much to my executive producer, who was excellent this week, Richard Judd. And this is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStrike.com production. Thank you for listening to me.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Thanks for listening. Go to GoFasterStripe.com for all your Rich Herring download and book needs. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can. And make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.